Hey, drama listeners, Dylan here. Before we get to our episode with one of the stars of the Tony Award-winning musical Suffs, Ally Bonino, who you will hear me mention it throughout this episode, she truly has one of the most gorgeous voices of all time. I want you to march on over to our Patreon where you can support us for $5 a month to get bonus episodes of drama, two extra episodes a month, plus a huge back catalog of, I'm sure there's got to be over 100 episodes at this point of Patreon because we've been doing that for 4 years, and this month in November, we're celebrating 5 years of drama. So there's a lot to catch up on. Anyways, that $5 a month also gets you access to our Instagram close friends, where all the fun is had if it's not being said on Drama Plus, on the Patreon. Your support means the world. It's meant the world over these last couple of years, and we are showing no signs of slowing down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope you love this episode with Ally Bonino. We sure had a great time chatting with her. All right, let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain up, and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
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 Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I know that it's like currently that time of the year when four different Housewives franchises are airing simultaneously, but I need to get your take on The Real Housewives of New York, as you are, in my eyes, the resident New Yorker expert opinion on this.
Wait, do you know what's crazy though? Not before I get into that, in a couple weeks, there's going to be one night where Beverly Hills is also airing during like the last part of the OC reunions. So there will be five.
That's wild.
That's too many.
And some people like you do watch all of them.
I know. Well, admittedly, I'm not all caught up on OC.
Okay.
So I'm not watching that one live, but I still like, I feel for the Bravo fans. Cause that's, I mean, you know, I famously quit Big Brother. Cause I was like, oh, it's like three episodes a week, but whatever. Now I'm doing four Housewives a week. Like, what is the difference? What's the difference? Anyway. Okay. So the new New York, I don't like it.
Ugh.
I was giving them a shot. I really was. I'm sure they're great gals. There are some stars in the cast, but they're too focused on like, we know we're on camera. We know we're making a TV show. This will be really good TV. Blah, 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 blah. Let's hide this. Let's not say this. And it's just not interesting to me. It really isn't.
I was afraid because I feel like you were continuing to give it a chance. And I sort of was like, oh, I don't know if I want to keep watching. I don't want to keep watching. I do think there's a few stars in the cast, and I do like a lot of them individually. I just don't feel that they gel right as a group.
Something's just wrong.
They feel like just like colleagues, maybe more so than anything.
They do. I don't know. I wonder if maybe they're too young, because the original Roni gals, they'd gone through some hard yards. You know, they'd lived lives.
Yeah, and a lot of that baggage would come up then, I suppose. You know, they'd all dated that guy.
Harry Dubin.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of different connective tissue there. Whereas I know that like some of these housewives were even cast on like the Dallas one first. And then
Brynn, I think, even went in for Vanderpump Rules, which is crazy.
Wow.
I don't think she would have fit on that show.
Yeah.
Like, I think she is a good housewife. But wait, does Love and Love and Make a Wish? I always have to. Whenever I see it, I have to.
Yeah.
I have to. But no, I realized that this new Roni is like bad when they did their cast trip, which lasted for like an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like they used to do two or three at Dorinda's Berkshire's home, Bluestone Manor.
I know.
And the twists, the turns, everything that would happen between like lunch and dinner was just wild on the original Roni.
I know. You'd be like, wait, it's still the same day?
Oh my God, it's still the same. All this stuff happened. And on this one, they're just like, I think I'm on a nap. Let's guess how much stuff costs at the Hamptons grocery store, which is like, I'm still in. Like, I love seeing what they're wearing. As a New Yorker, I love like their apartments. Where are they going? Where are they eating? I do love that stuff, but it's just not the same. Well, I keep watching it, of course. Of course, of course, of course, of course.
You know, that rumor when they were rebooting it, the rumor that maybe Orfeh, Broadway's beloved Tony nominee Orfeh, might have been in the cast. I think maybe that was where things went wrong when they didn't ultimately give her an apple.
They needed an Orfeh, and they needed maybe someone else who would just be like more real and fun. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that these girls aren't.
We'll always support them because we support women.
We do. We do. And I love, like I said, I will continue watching it, but it's tough. Potomac is great this season.
Yeah.
Salt Lake is amazing.
It is.
There's other good stuff.
Well, speaking of supporting women, There's a musical on Broadway right now that everybody needs to be supporting, and we love it.
Dylan, I didn't see this transition coming, but I should have. It felt so obvious.
It just happened. It wasn't planned.
I loved it.
We got to have Grace McLean on earlier this year and got to gush all about it. But now that some time has passed, election season has been insane since all of that happened. And I can only imagine what it's been like to be in the belly of the beast, so to speak, but on Broadway. And I have to say, before we bring in this guest, because I feel like I can say it when I'm just talking about it as opposed to talking directly to her, I think she has one of the greatest voices in the entire universe.
Oh, it's like a bell.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a beautiful melodic bell. And you said to me, Dylan, I think it was before like a 54 Below show that she was in. You were like, okay, this one gal, you're like, Connor, you're going to be get chills at her voice. Like, she has one of the best voices ever. And then mm-hmm. when the Suffs casting announcement came out, you were like, yeah. Connor, I'm so happy for her. I don't know her, but I'm so happy for her. Like, this is amazing. Yeah. So I am thrilled that we're going to chat with her today. And she's already sweet as can be. So Dylan, would you do us the pleasure and read her in?
Absolutely. Our guest today is at the gates, y'all. She is currently making her Broadway debut in the Tony Award-winning Suffs the Musical, where she stars as Lucy Burns. This is a role she created in workshops and has brought all the way to Broadway. She previously has shared her gorgeous voice and fabulous acting chops to Leonard Bernstein's Mass at the Kennedy Center, Myths and Hymns, Dogfight, Merrily We Roll Along, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, 35mm, and so much more. She even lent her vocals to John Mulaney in the Sack Lunch Bunch on Netflix. This Broadway star has been a part of many developmental readings, new musical demos, and collaborations with emerging artists, in addition to appearing in countless concerts and cabarets in New York City. On January 27th, she will bring her solo show, Flight, to Joe's Pub. We are so delighted to have her with us today. Please welcome to Drama, Allie Bonino.
That was so lovely. Oh my gosh. Thank you for that. Hi.
Oh my goodness. Hi. Like I said, I probably would have been blushing to tell you all of that directly to your face, but you are so darn talented, Allie.
Thank
it
you.
Is also very nice to meet you and see that you're just sweet as can be.
Well, I try. Very, very happy to be here. Long time listener, first time caller. Hi.
Oh my God.
Thank you for joining us. You know, at the top of the call, we always like to check in with our guests to see how they're doing. Allie, are you well?
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm well. I have a really big cup of hot cocoa, which is great. I watched a little bit of Six Feet Under before we hopped on. I pet my dog. Sun is shining, you know, we're singing at a gala tonight. It's a good day. It's a good day. We're having
that sounds dreamy.
I am well on this Monday. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to hear all that. But my focus for some reason is on the cocoa.
Yes.
Are you not a coffee or tea person? Or
here's the thing. I should not have caffeine. I know there's a little bit of caffeine in chocolate, but like if I drink a coffee, it does not cooperate with my body. So I can have decaf coffee, but the decaf coffee that you can buy at the store to make at home, it's not really great. So I would have to go buy like a latte for $18. So I have my Swiss Miss that I add, I doctor it up. I add a little bit of cocoa powder in it. So it's not as sweet. It's quite the decadence and I really enjoy it. And I drink probably 3 to 4 hot cocos a week. It's like year round. This is not like a fall, like spooky season, cold weather thing. Uh-huh, like I am a hot cocoa girly.
Do you ever do a little cinnamon on top?
Oh yeah, Dylan. Yes. Yes. Sometimes if I'm feeling really like spicy, we'll add a little bit of cinnamon and habanero powder to it. So it gets a little kick.
Ooh.
Yeah. We don't, like, I have like a frother for it and everything. Like we don't mess around.
I need
around.
You to put, make like a video of your like get ready with me, but like make it.
Oh my god! Yeah, just like holding the Swiss Miss packet up like an influencer, just like this is the rich chocolate Swiss Miss. Yeah. Hey, listen, it's all for the content, right? It's
and
all
for the content. They'll sponsor you in some way. Right? Yeah, totally.
Can you imagine if Swiss Miss sponsored me? Oh, that would be fantastic.
They're gonna be in your DMs after this episode comes out.
Slide right in, baby. Welcome.
Also, I've never taken in 6 Feet Under, but I am told it's one of the greatest series of all time. So it's kind of on that list for me of like mountains to climb at some point.
Yeah, I feel like I watch it like once a year. Like I'll just have like a yearly rewatch of it. And this year, because the year is almost over, it's late, but Netflix just randomly dropped it the other day. And I was like, well, I guess this is the universe telling me it's time. And it's beautiful, but it's also really heavy. And I forget that when I watch like four episodes in a row, it like brings you down a little bit. Like the storytelling is amazing, the acting is incredible, but it's very heavy. So like I have to remember to pepper in some like Parks and Rec or just like go outside for a walk, you know?
Sure.
Like just take some breaks. But highly recommend the last 10 minutes of the final episode, like the series finale, maybe some of the best television ever made. It's
Ooh.
perfect. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
So they stick the landing. It's a, the finale is always
Oh,
a tricky thing.
yes, they stick the landing in a very satisfying way. And for HBO, I feel like that's something that people say about them a lot. It's like the series was great, but like that last episode, but like with 6 Feet Under, I feel like across the board, people are like, no, they did right by like literally every character. It's yeah,
Wow.
it's great.
Including Lauren Ambrose of My Fair Lady on Broadway
Oh,
revival
yes.
fame.
And there are some moments in it where like, because it's very campy. It's Alan Ball, right? So it's like it's
Oh.
nowhere near as campy as like True Blood, but like there is some camp with a capital C happening. And there is this like aside in the first season where she's just like in a evening gown, like singing a jazz tune for a second. And I was like, oh yeah, we planted the seeds for that. Sure. She's
I
great.
love
Everyone's
it.
perfect. And it's funny too, because a lot of like people who are very famous now, but maybe this was like their first or second job, will be like a character for like an episode. And it's like, oh my God, it's you. Like Chris Pine is in
Oh.
an episode randomly. It's great. Yeah.
That's
Love it.
so random. I feel like I don't know of him doing like TV.
Well, he did this one episode. He's great.
That's definitely going to have to
Yeah.
be on my list because we did Sopranos a couple years ago and it's just,
Never seen it.
I think that's another one with the
Oh,
finale people are
Sopranos.
up in the air about, but
And as an Italian, I feel like my dad's like, have you watched The Sopranos yet? And I'm like, no. And he's like, he's not disappointed. He's mad about it. He just wants me to watch it.
It's really fantastic. I have to be honest. It's one that where the hype lives up. It does live up. Are you from the East Coast?
Yes, I'm from Connecticut. This beautiful little town called Unionville, Connecticut. It's a river town. I think they used to make hatchets back in the day. But
Oh.
I, fun fact, no, it's just great. It's about 2 hours out of the city. My family still lives there, and it's one of my favorite places in the world. There's so much nature, and just there's like a lake at the end of my parents' house. And whenever we're home, like last year we were home for Thanksgiving, and I took the paddleboard out. Like I just love to be home and in nature and with my family. It's great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh,
Would
yeah.
you come into New York a lot then as a kid? I feel like I'm about to jump into our next segment, but I'm just kind of curious.
I didn't really. I came in with my parents when I was like 4 to see Barney at Radio City,
Well, of course.
which was huge for me. I was Barney's Flying Circus, and I have very vivid memories of that day. And then I didn't come back again until I was like 12. So we didn't really come in a lot, which is weird because we were so close. But I grew up near Hartford, which is where the Bushnell is, which is a huge regional theater. So any tour that was coming by stopped at Hartford. So I saw a ton of shows in Hartford. But yeah, I don't think I came back until I was 12.
Oh, interesting. Do you remember what the occasion was when you were 12 that brought you back?
Yes, I do. It was Phantom of the Opera, and it was my first Broadway show.
Oh, baby.
An epic
Love
one.
that.
Yeah, it was. Whew, yeah. That was highlight of my life to that point. It was great.
Were you like familiar with the music before you saw it, or was that like a cold
Yes. Well,
experience?
I had been given Think of Me for a voice lesson, and that was like my voice recital song for that semester, which is funny because I am not like a lyric or coloratura soprano at all, but that was my song. So I like did a deep dive into the music, and I was like, this show's pretty cool. This is really interesting music. And then my cousin surprised me, who my cousin lived here at the time. She surprised me with tickets for my birthday. And we came in, and it like blew my mind. It blew my mind because it was the first time that I had listened to a soundtrack and then I saw the actual show. And it was like this interesting thing of what I had expected in my head versus what played out on stage. And some of it lined up and some of it, like the candles coming up, like I was like, 10 or 11 at the time I got that song. So like I couldn't conceive of like candelabras coming up from the stage and like a boat on stage. It just blew, and the little monkey, my God, that little monkey destroyed me. I couldn't get over it. It was amazing.
Oh, that
Yeah.
is the lost art of hearing something that's like you could go see it, but just having to use your imagination to know what it looks like. Because
Yeah.
now, every show, obviously, with their marketing, they want to show bits of the show
Yeah.
and you can watch clips and all that stuff. But back then, you fully in your head had to just like,
Yeah.
well, I remember getting like the In the Heights cast album and reading the plot description and listening to the songs for the first time. And of course, I'd seen the Tony performance, but then to finally get to go to New York and watch it, it totally blew up my expectations away. But I feel like kids don't experience that anymore because
I
of,
agree
video.
100%. And all of the slime tutorials everywhere. There is just, toss a stick on YouTube and it lands on a slime tutorial. And I'm not above saying that I have watched my fair share of them because, it's great. And some of them have, some of these slime tutorials have closed and like I will never get the opportunity to see them again. But yeah, and it's funny too, because I had a bunch of friends who came to see Suffs and they were like, we're not listening to the album. We're taking in as little content as possible. We want to like go and experience it. And I don't know if that's like a millennial thing and we're trying to like get back to that time of when we were kids and that was the only thing we had or what, but a lot of my friends were like, we didn't listen to anything, we haven't been watching anything, we want to just go in fresh. And I was like, I can respect that. I did that with Hamilton too. I was like, I'm not listening to anything. I think I heard My Shot and I was like, I'm not listening to another moment of this show until I can see it. And then we devoured that show as well. But yeah.
Well, I think with Suffs and Hamilton, for that matter, the story is, I mean, it's right there. And so, like, I don't want to be spoiled about everything or like the twists or turns. Whereas some musicals, they feel like the music is maybe a little bit less plot driven and it just sort of like a Spring Awakening, for example,
Yeah.
it's like they're saying it's like their inner thoughts as opposed to like the action that's happening. And so
Yeah.
I think with Suffs, maybe going in cold could be good, with the exception of gotta watch, like Keep Marching, things like that. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't give too much away with
Yeah.
everything. But
Yeah.
I respect the group of friends. Did they all love it?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who hasn't? It's so amazing.
They did. Yeah, it's been really overwhelming, the response to this show. And it's I like struggle to put it into words. I look back at this year and I'm just so overwhelmed by everything. Every single aspect of it has just been above and beyond any expectation I could have had. I just feel very honored to be telling this story at this time with this group of people. And it's crazy too, because when we did it at the Public 2 years ago, the announcement that Roe was going to be overturned happened. And it's like every time we do this show, there is something happening in the world that's just like a mirror for what we are talking about. And I think that's what's brilliant about this piece, is that I don't know that there will ever be a time when it won't feel relevant or important. And that's the brilliance of Shayna, and also the tragedy of like the sort of cyclical trauma that we live in this country. Like we know what's happened and we don't really learn from it, but we could if we did X, Y, and Z differently. But yeah, telling this story right now has been bonk to the onkers, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, because when Suffs, Kamala Harris wasn't the nominee back when Suffs
She sure
opened
wasn't.
on Broadway.
She sure wasn't. That was a crazy day. That so when Joe Biden announced that he was not going to be running again, that came out at like 40 minutes till. We were 10 away from getting our half hour call. And like our phones were blowing up, our text thread was, everyone was like, have you seen this? Like, did, like, what are we okay? And like it was this thing of like hope and also like fear and like sadness. Like it was a very strange mixture of emotions. And then we're like 10 minutes later, our stage manager's like, half hour please. And we're like, okay, yeah, oh great, let's do the show. But then that day specifically, the curtain rose, and Jen always gets applause, as is her right, because she is a queen, she is mother. So like she's getting, her normal applause, but then it just keeps going and it keeps going. And there was like a 3 minute ovation, and then the crowd started chanting Kamala. It was nuts. Like Shayna likes to say that we had the first Kamala rally in the country. And I don't think she's wrong in saying that. It was amazing, and it was nice to know that the audience was also processing this news in real time, and we felt this incredible privilege of like being a landing pad for all of those emotions. And also it let us feel like it was okay for us to process all of it too. We're like, okay, we're all on the same page. We're all processing this news, and it's going to be okay. Like we're going to get through it together. It's going to be okay. That was a wild day. And then it's just been kind of nuts since then.
I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, you had, you know, Secretary Clinton quoting Suffs in her Democratic National Convention speech.
She
like
loves
that to
do
me
it.
Was.
She loves to do it.
She does. Oh my God. She's off book.
She really is. She's off book, and it's in her book. It's literally in her book.
Oh, really? I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I think it's like toward the end. There's a really awesome video of Cory Booker who came to the show and was lovely. He like was so moved, and you know,
he rocks.
He was so wonderful, but there was this video of him reading the lyrics to Keep Marching, and it's giving like first day of rehearsal where the director's like, okay, we're gonna read the lyrics. And it was like all of us were like, ooh, this is, yeah, we know this. We know that what's happening here. But it was so wonderful to hear him be so moved by these lyrics. It was very funny though.
Oh my God. Oh, he's got that voice too. You know, like I could just hear it. Yeah.
It was totally giving that first day where it's like, okay, now we're going to read Finishing the Hat. We're going to read the lyrics all the way down. It's like, do we have to? Do we have to know?
Who's been like your favorite backstage visitor at Suffs?
Melissa McCarthy.
Ooh.
Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. I've been a fan of hers for years and years and years. I love her comedy. I love her intelligence around her comedy. And I also appreciate that she is a bigger woman, and her comedy is not rooted inside of that. It is not a punchline. It's not the driving force behind it. She is just hilarious and smart, and also happens to be plus size.
Yeah.
I have looked up to her for years because of that. And then to meet her was just, I mean, she was like, she saw me and she started crying, and then I started crying, and then we were crying in each other's faces. And it was just very, very cool to meet her. And also Gloria Steinem came back, which was very cool. Very cool for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
of course
it's been amazing meeting these people who I've like looked up to for a very long time. It's been very cool. But I think Melissa McCarthy is like my
For sure.
Well, I was going to ask, was Gilmore Girls your intro to Melissa McCarthy, or?
It was Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay. I mean.
I didn't really watch Gilmore Girls in the during the pandemic when those four episodes came out, and I had like gone through the entire Netflix library. I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch these. I had no idea what was happening. I had no idea where we were. Stars Hollow, I think.
Yeah, is what it's called.
But I didn't watch the series, but Bridesmaids was my introduction to her. And I was like, who are you?
Yeah. The physical comedy.
You?
It's
yes.
Amazing.
And then like I went back and I watched some of Mike and Molly. And then it's just like, I've just been following her throughout the years. And I think she is just brilliant. But it was Bridesmaids for me. I was like, God, you're fearless. You are absolutely fearless. And the thing that I loved about Bridesmaids was I felt like all of those women were just fearless comedians.
Yeah.
Like they weren't trying to be pretty. They weren't trying to be hot. They weren't trying to be like, oh, I'm a cute little girl. Like they were just like funny and real. And I love that, because I feel like we see that with guys in comedies a lot, but with women, there's always like some other thing going on. Bridesmaids was just like balls to the walls. We're just going to be funny for you. And I loved it.
Oh, so good. I don't know if you watch Only Murders in the Building, but Melissa McCarthy just gave a great my God.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. So good. So good. Oh my God. All of those dolls. Wow.
Oh my God.
So many dolls. Oh, she's brilliant. I have just the utmost respect for her, and I'm just very honored to have met her. She's very cool.
Oh yeah.
She's very cool.
I mean, it's been such an exciting, you know, this last Broadway season was so thrilling in general, and then just sort of then fueled forward by just the political climate that we're in. I can imagine it's, you know, things are very exciting and also scary and wild. It sucks all the time.
Yeah. I remember on our first day in the theater, we had a security meeting, and we met Paul from security. He's from the Bronx, Paul. And he, you know, he loves an anecdote. He loves name dropping. And I know that he would keep us safe, but he was like, does anybody have any questions? And I was like, hi, I do. Hi. Cause my anxiety OCD brain is always thinking 15 steps ahead. I was like, you know, this is a very political show in a very political year with a very polarizing political figure. Like, are we good? Are we good here? And like, luckily, like knock wood, yeah. I hope I'm not jinxing anything. Like, it's been okay. We've had a couple moments with people saying stuff, but I think that happens at every show. Yeah. It wasn't anything specific to Suffs. I think everybody really understands that, like, you know, the climate right now is scary, and we're trying to move through it as gracefully and with as much empathy as possible. And that's what's so amazing about our cast. It's like, it's just a group of incredibly kind, open-hearted, loving, fiercely intelligent humans. So if there is something that happens, the way that we navigate through it, I always feel like safe inside of it, which is not always the case. So sure. it's very cool to be with this group of people.
Who do you share a dressing room with?
I have a room. I have a room.
Yes.
Yeah, I have my little station. Yeah, the music box is, she's a petite girl. She is a petite little girl. And it's like, we have no wing space. The dressing rooms are all like super condensed. But yeah, I have a little space.
Oh, aww. That's amazing. You've earned it. You've earned it, Allie. Because I've been seeing you for years and years performing. And to see you having this moment has been really thrilling.
Thanks. That, you know, that's been wild too. It's like, that, like, when we announced, like, I think it was almost a year ago, exactly, like, when the announcement came out, or maybe, like, a week or two later, but everyone who responded to it was like, you've been working at this for so hard, we're so happy for you, and, like, mm-hmm. I don't think I realized that, like, because, you know, when you're, like, in the grind of, like, trying to make it happen, it's, like, you feel the love, you feel the support, but it's, like, you're so focused on just doing the work, and, like, what is the next thing, and then, like, to sort of land or arrive at this moment, and then to have everybody be like, we've been following you, we've been watching you, like, that just completely bowled me over. And I, like, never, as someone who performs on Broadway 8 times a week, I, like, never want to be the center of attention. I really don't. Like, it's, like, not, like, so, like, somebody else can do it. But, like, it was really lovely to just have this wave of, like, support sort of wash down over me. Because it felt simultaneously unexpected, and also like, no, these are your people. This is your family, like, coming to boost you up. It was really beautiful.
Goodness. That's special. I'm really happy for you. You mentioned not always wanting to be the center of attention. Obviously you have this unbelievable talent. I'm curious, you know, we were talking a little bit about like your upbringing in Connecticut and whatnot. How did you end up figuring out that this life was going to be for you? The Ring of Keys moment is what we call it.
Yeah. You know, I think I have to give it up to my elementary school music teacher. Elementary school was really, really hard for me. I was really bullied pretty profusely by this group of like 5 girls. They made my life a living hell. Mm. And I never wanted to be anywhere that they might be. So I don't know why, but instinctively I like drifted to the music room. Like if I didn't have to go out to recess, I would like find my way to the music room. And I think I was in third grade, and my music teacher found me in there, and I was so sure I was going to get in trouble because I was like playing with all the little toys, and I'm sure I was singing some like Disney song because I grew up in the golden age of the puppy VHS covers for Disney.
Oh yeah.
And she was like, was that you singing? And I was like, yeah. And I was, because again, like I liked singing, but like whenever my family would be like, why don't you sing something? I'd be like, no, I'm good. I'm okay. Like I truly never wanted to sing for people. And even today, like if I'm just around someone like sing, I'm like, I'm okay. I'm
good. Yeah, there's a difference, right? You know what I mean?
It's yeah. Like performing is one thing, but just like sitting around at home and being like, here, it's not for me. But so she was like, was that you? And I was like, yes. And she goes, okay, we're going to call your mom later. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to go on my personal record. I shouldn't have been in this room. Like I was singing. Maybe I was too loud. I was disrupting something. And she called my mom later that night. And what she said to my mom was, do you know that your daughter can sing? And my mom was like, we've heard her sing, but like, you know, nothing serious. And the teacher was like, no, like she can sing. You want to go to this program. They have voice lessons and also this like theater program for kids. I think it would be worth looking into for her. And she directed us to the University of Hartford. They had this amazing program called The Company. And when we went to it, I was a little too young to join because I think I was 7. And what the compromise was they're like, let's do like 2 years of voice lessons. She'll be 9. And then when she turns 9, she can join the company. And it was just this, we met on Saturdays from like, I think 9 to 12 or 1. And it was like, you know, in the mornings we would do like song study, and like it was like a studio class essentially for kids. Like you would sing a song and they would work with you on it. And then in the afternoon, or the second half of the morning, I guess, you would work on whatever show we were doing. And sometimes it was like a black box, like song cycle type thing. But then we also did like, we did Kiss Me Kate, and we did a full production of Titanic when I was 12. Like it, you know, like we really did these shows, and they didn't treat us like kids. They really, you know, instilled in us what like a professional working atmosphere is like. And for me, it was like the first time that I found a community of people, and the first time that I felt like I could be myself, and like it was safe to be myself. I was never bullied there. I was never picked on. I was never ridiculed. I found some friends that are still to this day, like in my inner circle. And it was like, oh, there is a place where I can combine all of these things of like this thing that I really enjoy doing. And also I can like be myself here and know that it's okay. Like in a lot of ways, I feel like theater really saved my life. Like I don't know. I genuinely don't know if I would have made it through adolescence if I didn't have that place, because it was so bad at school. So like theater in a lot of ways, like I know a lot of people say this and it maybe sounds trite, but like I really feel like it saved my life in a lot of ways. It like really became this safe place. And to this day, like I always joke, like performing is the one place in my life where I am like, I am good. Like I know what I know what's expected of me. I know what you want from me. I know how to deliver on it. When I am on stage, I feel so safe and comfortable. And then I get off stage and I'm like, what am I doing? What is life? I don't know. Help me, someone. But like theater really became this safe place. It really did. And I can truly trace like me sitting on this couch talking to you about Suffs back to the company. The people that I met there, the opportunities that I got because of those people, like I got into college because of that, like the college that I went to. And then from there, it like all stems back to Mrs. Saravalli, my teacher, calling my mom and being like, do you know your daughter can sing? Which is nuts, because I was 7 at the time. It's crazy. But she saw something or heard something, and I will be forever grateful to her for that.
Oh, have you ever been able to reconnect with her, or she's still with
you? You know,
us?
It's funny. We stayed in touch, I think, through middle school. Like I remember going to visit her on summer break, like with my family down at her house in Southern Connecticut. And then I think like we got into high school or like upper middle school, and we kind of lost touch. But I'm like talking to you now, I'm like, I should try to find her. Like, I should try to reach out to her.
I'm on Broadway now.
Like, it's truly crazy to like really think about like following the thread back. Mm-hmm. And it really did start with her. Yeah. She gave me my first ever solo in a concert in 3rd grade. I was obsessed with the movie Titanic. And I was like, I want to sing My Heart Will Go On. And she was like, maybe another song. And I was like, I would really like to sing My Heart Will Go On. So this was like before the days of karaoke tracks. So like we had the actual Celine Dion recording that they just turned down, and I sang over it. And there's a video of me. And like when I got nervous when I was little, I would like rub my clothing between my fingers. And like even to this day, like sometimes I find myself doing it. And the video is just me standing like stiff as a board, just like rubbing the edges of my dress, just singing My Heart Will Go On. It's a very special video.
Oh my God.
Very special video.
That's so I cute. Appreciate you sharing the vulnerable experience. You know, being young is really hard. And
yeah,
having theater, and I love that it was also like you genuinely are talented, but also were able to find your people at the same time. I think it's really, really beautiful. Is the company still in business?
So the community division at Heart, I believe, still exists, but it's not, I don't believe it's the company anymore. It's some other thing. But it really feels like such a singular thing that happened in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, I don't know that they would be able to recreate it again, because like, it was just so of that time. But it was such a special place. I would always, like, on Saturday mornings, I would be like, just wake up at like 6 and be like, okay, when do we get in the car? Like, is it time to go? Like, when do we, like, it was just, I looked forward to it with everything inside of me. It was my absolute favorite thing in the world. Yeah.
That is so special. I love it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you said you can trace, you know, being in SUFS now all the way back to that, to those experiences. In between, mm-hmm. what are some of your other favorite theatrical experiences you've participated in?
Yeah. I think Myths and Hymns for me is a huge bright spot. It was the first job I had out of college. Adam was very hands-on. Adam Gettle was very hands-on with us. I had worked with him the summer right before at a summer stock situation. So I kind of knew him a little bit before we started this process. And the production was just so gorgeous. It was in this theater that was in the, like, a, an old bell tower of this church on 86th Street. And it was so interesting too, because Myths and Hymns had always just been a song cycle. Mm-hmm. And when we did it, it was still a song cycle, but our director, Elizabeth, had really gone in and, with Adam's blessing, reconfigured all of the songs. Like, she moved them all around. So it had more of a storyline through it. And the staging was so cool. And everybody in that cast was so ridiculously talented. And I was like, this is the kind of stuff I want to do. This is the kind of stuff I want to work on and create and develop, you know, taking something old and maybe make it, putting a new spin on it, or doing it in a different, with a different concept behind it. And, you know, as a 21-year-old, I was like, this is art, this is art, and I'm doing it. I'm inside of it.
Yeah.
It was such a special time. I love that show. When I Die and, like, the life flashes before me. God, I'm really in a 6 feet under mindset. But, like, When I Die and, like, my life flashes before my eyes, like, Myths and Hymns will for sure be in that flash.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I know we've touched on SUFS quite a bit, but I am curious about a few more things just with it in general.
Please. Yes.
I know you've been a part of it since maybe, like, 2018, I might have read, or something like that. Mm-hmm. How did you build Lucy, you know, a real character, and then make it your own?
Well, when I first started this, the first ever reading that I did, there were 9 songs, and I was actually playing Dudley at the time. I was a completely different character. And then over the next year and a half, as the show was being developed, I kind of bounced around to a bunch of different parts. And then in August of 2019, we were doing our first ever reading of Act Two. Like, it had only been Act One up until then. Act Two was this new thing that none of us had ever seen. And we were like 2 weeks away from the rehearsal process starting. And I'm sitting at my table doing work on my computer, and my phone rings, and it's Lee Silverman, our director. And I don't know why, but I looked at my phone and I was like, oh my God, you're getting fired. She's calling to fire you. And because she is a lovely person, she's calling you to break the news, and it's not going to be over email, but she's calling you. And my phone is just ringing and ringing. I'm having this conversation with myself. I'm like, so you have two options here. You either let it ring and it goes to voicemail. She's not going to fire you over voicemail though. So if it goes to voicemail, she'll be like, call me back later. And then you're not going to call her back until tomorrow. And you're not going to sleep tonight. Or you can just be a big girl and answer the phone. So, like, that happened in about a microsecond. And I answered and I was like, hey, Lee, what's up? How are you? How's it going? Like, I was so sure. And I don't know why. I mean, yes, I do. Trauma with a capital T. But, like, I was so sure that I was going to get fired. And we were chatting for like 10 minutes or so. She was up at Williamstown doing a thing. So I was asking her about how that was going. And I was just trying to, like, soften whatever blow was about to come. And she was like, so the workshop for Act Two. And I was like, what's up? What's up with it? And she was like, so, you know, we've been moving you around and we want to try you as Lucy this time. And I had always loved Lucy because I thought in Act One, she had some really, like, pretty melodic moments. And I was like, that would be fun to sing. But of course, I never said it because, you know, you don't want to seem presumptuous or anything. But so she was like, we want to try out as Lucy. And my next words were, shit, are you serious? She was like, yes, we're serious. She was, and then I'll never forget this as long as I live. She was like, we love having you in the room. We love working with you. If Lucy is not the right fit, we're going to find the fit for you. But we want to try this and see how it goes. And then we got in the room and I sang Lucy's song for the first time and everybody was crying. And I was like, I think that's good. I think that's okay. I think that's what we want. And then, you know, we did the workshop, and after the workshop was over, we all went to have drinks and Chicken Fingers and Rachel Sussman, who's a very dear friend of mine and also one of our lead producers, she looked at me and she goes, "So I think you're Lucy now." And of course, like, never wanting to seem presumptuous, I was like, "Well, you know, I was very grateful to do it for this one time. Like, we'll see what happens." And she looked at me and she was like, "I think you're our Lucy now." And I was like, "Cool, cool, 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 cool. Great, cool, 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 cool." And then from there, it stuck. And then we did the full workshop later that year of the whole thing. And then, you know, the pandemic happened, mm-hmm. sadly. But when we came back in 2022 with the public, I really got to sink my teeth into her and find her physicality. And I think what's interesting too is the Lucy that existed at the public is a very different Lucy than the one that exists on Broadway. And there are aspects of the public Lucy that I really liked, but I'm so proud of where we've landed for this 2.0 version. And also getting the privilege of developing a character that much to be able to be like, oh, there was that version. And now we've really settled into this version.
Ooh, interesting. So do you mean in the way you developed, like, your characterization of Lucy changed a mm-hmm. lot between the public and this, or were there rewrites and changes to the show itself? Because I sadly missed it at the public, but
that's okay. We lost so many shows at the public because Omicron right. really just bitch slapped us. It was bad.
Oh,
we
right.
lost so many shows at the public. It was bad, but it's a combination of both. I think at the public, my physicality for Lucy was much smaller. Like, everything was very in, like, my arms were crossed and like my head was down a lot. My shoulders were up and hunched. And with this, I took the rewrites that Shayna did, which are brilliant. And like, Lucy's a lot funnier now, and she's a little bit more present than she maybe was at the public. She takes up more space physically, and like, we're not afraid to embrace the full 5'10" that I am. And like, you know, I'm a bigger girl, like, but I'm not gonna try to shrink myself down. Like, I'm here. Lucy would not have shrunk herself down, so I'm not going to. And it's just very interesting because I've never had the opportunity to do that with a role before. It's always like, you have 3 months to do this show, put it up, and then very fast and dirty process. But this is, there's been a real settling into it. And I think also, like, the Lucy that I'm doing, that I did yesterday at our show, is vastly different than the one that we opened with in April. And that's what I love about theater. It's a constantly evolving, living, breathing thing. And some days, you know, maybe I am a little smaller. Some days, maybe I am taking up more space, but it's the Lucy that we found. I really love her. And this is something I don't say often. I'm like really proud of her. I'm really proud of that work. Really, aww. Really proud of it. My therapist would be so proud of me for saying that. She'd be so proud of me.
You got to send your therapist that clip as proof.
I will.
I have to tell you, I'm proud of you too. When you said you sang Lucy's song for the first time and people were crying, that was definitely our experience watching Suss. Oh my God, wait, why am I going to cry right now telling you this? It moved me so much. And I actually can't even really listen to the song without getting emotional. So I'm so glad it's captured forever in the stunning cast album. But congrats on the show. Congrats on the performance. That song specifically, beyond. I mean, that is a tune. Just yeah. the way it moves story forward and the way, oh, it's everything. It's everything.
It's also so earned, you know?
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. And that's, I was always so, I had a real like mental block about that song for a while because I was, especially in the scene before where you have Ida, Mary, and Phyllis being like, our fight is not over. We have to keep going. We have to keep, so we keep marching. We lifting as we climb onward and upward. And then you have all of the NWP people leave. And then I sing a song where I'm literally like, I'm not marching anymore. I was like, you have to earn that every single night. So it's like throughout the show, it's like my body can attest to this. Like, I push myself harder. Mm-hmm. If I'm thrown to the floor, I'm thrown to the floor harder. Like, if something's happening, I feel like I have to commit to it 180% so that by the time we get to that song, people can be like, okay, I get it. She does need a break. Because otherwise it just looks like someone walking away. So I really, that is like such a conscious thing for me. I was like, we have to earn that moment every mm-hmm. single night. I hope I have.
Oh, you have. You certainly have. It's a beautiful performance. And I hope that everybody gets the chance to see it before it sadly closes a little earlier than expected.
No, I'm so bummed. I'm so bummed, but Sarah Snook needs to come in. She needs to come in and do the portrait. She needs to. She so it's okay.
Another HBO okay. girl needs to come in and.
I know. Yeah. I don't know that Succession necessarily stuck the landing.
I don't. Yeah. I don't think so.
That's okay. That's for another podcast.
Yeah, we'll definitely. We'll have later. To have you back. This has been so much fun, Allie.
We love you so much.
We really, really appreciate your time and everything that you Thank gave us today. You. It was really lovely. Before we finally say goodbye, though, we are going to do a quick dose of drama where we share maybe something that we want to recommend, rant about, rave about. Very top of mind for me, but just because we mentioned Only Murders, I'm loving this season. I think it is so fun. I obviously loved the Broadway season last year, but there's something so fresh and interesting about this current season on Hulu, and I think the finale is coming soon, like maybe this week or next week, but I recommend it to everyone. There's cameos left and right. It's just brilliant.
Oh, I know, it's so good. So good. All right, top of mind for me, my dose of drama. I'm obsessed with Kelsea Ballerini's new album Patterns. I know you're kind of gagged, like Connor's listening to country pop music. This is crazy. But it must be the Midwesterner in me that there's like a little love for country music, but I love Kelsea Ballerini. Her last EP, Rolling Out the Welcome Mat, was amazing. And I love that she's just doing this authentic, like, you're on the ride with me storytelling with her albums. This is where I'm at this stage. And next album, I'll probably be singing about different things, but this is my truth in the moment. And I just love her. I think she's so good. And it is kind of ballad heavy, but I'm a ballad queen, so it's fine with me. Yeah.
You'd never complain about me. That.
Yeah. It's tough to listen to it at the gym. That's all I'll say there. But anyway. Oh, I know, gosh. I know.
Maybe for your cool down. Do it for your
cool down.
I
love it. I love it. Or my stretches that I do at the beginning, which I'm also, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Breathing, you know, center
yes,
yourself.
Yes, yes.
With the ballad.
Yeah. Emily, do you have a dose of drama?
I don't know if this counts, but, you know, it's fall and there are a lot of fall flavors happening right now. And I have a real issue with spaghetti squash. It is all over. It is all over my algorithm right now. Like every like food influencer that I follow is like 7 ways to cook spaghetti squash. It is not a good squash. I hate it so much. It's too sweet. And then it's crunchy. It's always crunchy in a way that you don't like it. And I don't like it. The spaghetti squash assault.
I'm with you.
It's bothering me.
I keep thinking, oh, maybe there'll be like a right sauce to go with it that will make it taste right.
And it never is. It never, mm-hmm. any sauce you put on it, any topping. And that's the thing. They're like, put all this cheese on it, put all this stuff on it. And I'm like, then that counterbalances the point of what right. you're trying to do with eating the healthy squash. Right. And no matter what you put on it, it still doesn't taste good. I just wish that we collectively as a society would admit that spaghetti squash is a mid-tier squash at best and just maybe move on to something else.
I know. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I'm with you. You know, someone needed to say it because fall has so many great flavors. I actually had like a butternut squash ravioli recently. It was delicious.
You know, kid, like justice for the butternut yes. squash, you know, a delicata, an acorn, if I may, you know, I just like, we need to get off this spaghetti squash soapbox and just admit that there is nothing we can do to help it. It's fine. Just let it be. Let it go.
Let it go, girl.
Let it go.
Allie, that definitely counts as a dose of drama. So thank you. Totally. Thank you for speaking Great. Truth to it. And before we say goodbye, I want to tell everybody that they've got to go see your Joe's Pub show at the end of January, which I know feels like
yes.
far at this point, but it's not. It's going to be here before you know it.
It's much sooner than I think any of us would like for it to be.
Can you tease any tunes you'll be performing?
Yeah. So, you know, there might be some nods to a certain Meadowlark. We might be talking about some October sky. We might hang out under a cactus tree. There might be some version of rainbow stuff happening. There might be some new things. I don't know. We'll see. It's a really fun set list. It's songs that have either been written for me over the years or people have been like, you should sing this song. And I have a very complicated relationship with gravity and with heights in particular. So I think it's very funny that people are like, here's a song about a bird. I think you should sing it. And I'm like, it's terrifying to me, but okay. And there are going to be some really special guests that are very near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. And our band is going to be lit, as the children say. I think they still
say
that.
They do.
But yeah, it's going to be a fun night in the dream. And I'm saying this out loud so I can hold myself accountable. The dream is that I want to get a booth recording of this and then maybe release it as some sort of album mm-hmm. situation. So I'm saying it here so that I can also hold myself accountable later when they ask if I want to do that and my imposter syndrome kicks in. I'm going to hold myself accountable by saying it here. But yeah, it's Monday, January 27th at Joe's Pub at 9:30. I would love for you to come.
Oh, yes.
I would love to see you there.
Oh, my goodness. And the world would be better to have an album of your voice, Allie. You're, like I've said a million times, you're unreal. Where can everybody find you to follow you on the interwebs?
Yes, I am primarily on Instagram at AllieBo123, AllieBo123. I have a TikTok, but it scares me and I don't really know how it works, so I don't check it a lot. So I would say find me on Instagram and that's it.
Love it.
Thank you so much. Everyone needs to go see Suffs and follow Allie. Follow us at the Drama Podcast, Connor at Connor McDowell, me at Dylan McDowell. And thank you again, Allie. This was really a treat for us.
Thank you. This is so much fun. Yay.
Yay.
All right.
And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.